out with the old and in with the new. Now, y'all have gone by houses and you've seen these dumpsters sitting out there where they just gutted the whole inside and thrown everything away, hadn't you? Well, that's in essence what the Apostle Paul is telling us here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. He says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." I thought it interesting that the word spirit in verse 23, when you look that up in Strong's, one of the meanings is a mental disposition. And when you begin to look at the word attitude and you break that down, one of the synonyms for the word attitude is disposition. I believe what Paul is telling us here is that the way that we take all this stuff that's from the old man and get rid of it and dump it out and throw it in the trash can, we're replacing it with new attitudes. We're replacing it with new mindsets. We're replacing it with new dispositions. And so he tells us basically the same thought in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, where he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ went down. He went down so low that I don't know if we will ever understand fully the depths of just how low he was willing to go in his love to you and to me tonight. How many of y'all ever played that limbo game? You know, used to, when I was a little limber, I could kind of play that game a little bit, but now I can't hardly even bend. But some of y'all used to get real low. You know, that's the thought here, that when we're in the house of God, we are to be willing to go low at our brother's feet. So my question to you tonight is, how low are you willing to go at your brother's feet? You see, these business meetings and these church services, they're wonderful when peace can reign and you can have harmony and love. But you know, that doesn't come easily. It comes because you're willing to be at one another's feet. And as soon as we get an attitude that somehow or another I deserve something more than somebody else, then look out, because trouble's right around the corner. And so if you want to maintain the peace and the unity and the love of this body, have the mind of Christ, have the attitude of Christ, that you're willing to be as low as you can be at one another's feet. You know, there's something about attitudes, and they're very important. This is what Chuck Swindoll says. He says, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do, than appearances, than giftedness or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one thing we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me, and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. You know, I don't know who came up with this saying, but I wish it had been original with me. You know that attitudes are contagious? Is yours worth catching? Now, that's a gripping little thing, but there's a lot of truth in that. Do you know that attitudes among us are things that we catch? You see, not everything is contagious. Your talents are not contagious. I wish I could catch all y'all's good talents and your skills and your experience, but those are not contagious. But there's one thing that is always contagious, and that is your attitude. You know how many people came out of Israel in the Exodus? Well, there's guesstimates, but the general figure is somewhere around 1.5 million people. Do you know that 1.5 million people were persuaded to disbelieve God and to turn their back on Him in rebellion because of 10 men? 10 men caused over 1 million people to be in doubt and to turn their back in rebellion on God. And you know what happened? The longest obituary in the history of God's people occurred. For the next 40 years, they would come to Moses every day and they would say, you remember old Zacchaeus? Yeah, well, he passed last night. You know old Noah Gass? He was just out there picking and grinning and he's not here anymore. You know Sister Melissa? Well, she's not here today. It was the longest obituary column, dear brethren, the world has ever known. Why? Because 1.5 million people caught a bad attitude and the results were pretty horrible. You know, in the second chapter of the book of Galatians, we find some godly men. Now, these men were sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ and they were spiritual-minded men. The Apostle Peter is there and he's having a wonderful time with the Gentile converts. Until somebody comes down from Jerusalem and begins to stir up the trouble and all that politic and stuff goes on and he quit fellowshipping with the Gentile people. But you know his attitude and that whole thing influenced a godly man and some other men with him. One of those was Barnabas. Do you know what a heavenly minded man Barnabas was? And yet Barnabas was persuaded by a bad attitude of the Apostle Peter. Now, I want you to know, as saints of God, we have an attitude, and it's, you have the power in your attitude to lift people up or bring them down. I want to close out with a scripture in the book of Acts. It's found in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, and I want you to see that attitudes are important. They are contagious, and we catch them. In that 27th chapter of the book of Acts, I'll begin reading in the 18th verse. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You know who wrote this book? Luke, the beloved physician. That's him writing right here. He says, I even, with my own hands, I helped take all the tackling out of the ship and throw it overboard in hopes that we might lighten the ship enough to be saved. And now all hope of our being saved is gone. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." You know, that's the whole basis of all the hope we have in this life, is on the wonderful promises of God. And so Paul was able to restore hope among these people because he believed in God. What an attitude. But go on down now with me and see. In that 33rd verse it says, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. You see how they went from a hopeless attitude to one of great hope and good cheer, because they caught the attitude of the Apostle Paul, who says, "I believe God that it's going to be just like he said." You have great power in your attitude to use it, dear brethren, to lift up one another and rejoice in the things of God. Encourage your pastor. I thank you.